Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing transforming multifamily leaders in a transactional environment. And joining me today by phone is a best-selling author and longtime multifamily industry veteran, Gary Gregory, the Director of Operational Initiatives at Steadfast Living. Welcome, Gary.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be on the show and get to chat with you today.
Well, I appreciate it. You and I had a chance to talk a little bit before we taped the show, and it's an intriguing topic. And I want to first, for the benefit of our multifamily listeners, can you define what a transactional environment is in multifamily?
Absolutely. So, you know, in my experiences, I've been blessed to work with, you know, two very incredible companies. And I've seen through my experiences, you know, from other companies shopping, you know, the competition and all the things that we do as a part of our, you know, multifamily work life is transactional environment is where we are just focused on getting a person in, checking the box, and just doing the things that we've got to do. You know, there's no long-term vision or no long-term goal. It's more of just a, you know, hey, let's get the occupancy, let's get the numbers, you know, and we're all focused on that dollar amount on the budget, you know. So it's so easy for on-site associates to fall into that transactional environment because, you know, their goals or their metrics are based on a number. And so we create these checklist managers. And so, you know, hey, we've got to get this done. We've got to get that done. We've got to get this other thing done. And so it's all a matter of just checking the boxes. You know, we open up the doors. We've got to get the things cleaned. We've got to get leases. We've got to follow up with our prospects. We've got to send out renewal letters. And it all becomes these check boxes. And it's very transactional, meaning that it's just a one and done and move on to the next topic or the next goal kind of thing. And this is a very short-term mindset. And I've seen it, you know, in my experiences of, you know, shopping the comps and just being a part of this industry for almost 20 years that transactional environment is just it's an easy default setting where we're just simply checking the boxes to get the things done that are on the checklist. So that's the transactional environment that I'm speaking about, is simply checking boxes on a checklist.
And so when you're speaking specifically, I mean, I'm sure that there's a transactional environment at the corporate level as well, mm-hmm. or there can be, as there is on site. You know, what do you see corporately from that standpoint? Same type of symptoms?
Yeah, there's similar symptoms where, you know, whether it's a publicly owned REIT, a privately owned REIT, or just a, you know, third-party management REIT, there's a lot of pressure in order to get the things done that need to be done. And so we're all focused on, you know, typically we're focused on the budget. You know, what do we got to do, or what do we have to do, what do we need to do in order to make those numbers? You know, and I get it. It's a business, and we have investors, we have responsibilities, all of those things. So it's important to get to those numbers. And so I think what I've seen on a corporate level, and again, I've currently worked for an incredible company, Steadfast Living, and another company before that have been very mindful of, you know, the different approaches. But I've seen in interactions that on a corporate level, you know, it is, here comes the initiative. We've got to get this done. We've got to check these boxes. We're behind on budget. So we've got to make these changes. And this is your new checklist so that we can obtain, you know, these new metrics based on, you know, our performance at this point in time or the reforecasted performance. So, you know, even from a corporate level, you know, I get it. It's a business. We've got to get things done. Or we've got to roll out new initiatives to support whatever that budget may be. And so, you know, a lot of times in this kind of quick, get things done, we push it out and say, here's what you got to do. Check the box, make sure you got it done, and then let's move on to the next thing. And so it just, again, that checklist mindset, which is, you know, creates a short-term view or vision of the things that are done, is that transactional approach. And so, and there's always going to be a need, and I recognize that. There's always going to be a need for checklists. There's always going to be a need to check the box because you got to get things done. I recognize that. And so, but it can't be the only focus. There's got to be a component from the corporate all the way down to the on-site level, an element of creating that transformational approach, more of a long-term vision of how you want your company to run, how you want your on-site communities to run, and most importantly, how you want to create an expectation or behavior with your associates.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure.
You know, I'm an owner of a property, or I'm a corporate executive with a management company, and I've got my teams throughout the company are all on site that are thinking on this transactional basis, and they're checking those boxes. That sounds desirable in some ways. Tell me what the shortfalls are of that. Tell me what you postulate is the downside of not having that transformative type of leader.
Absolutely. So, you know, this goes back to how do the associates see themselves as being valued? And, you know, if the mindset is just that short-term goal, then that creates a scenario in which, okay, what is my career opportunities with this company? If I'm simply this person that has a checklist that's presented in front of me and I got to check the boxes, what's my career look like? And if you look at, you know, I was doing some research looking at the National Apartment Association's publication, some information about turnover. And there's some high turnover numbers, especially, you know, from the on-site manager, on-site leasing, on-site maintenance. It's between, you know, looking at the 2019 average, they're showing, you know, between 22 and 39% turnover. And when you create a transactional approach and transactional environment, that's where you're going to get turnover. I mean, that's huge because there's no investment in that individual. And when you get high turnover, that gets pretty expensive. And in fact, I was doing some additional research. If you look at what is an employee turnover cost, you know, when you lose somebody. So, for example, I was looking at some research by PeopleKeep. A turnover cost for a manager making about, let's say, $60,000 a year, if you turn that person over, that cost to get a new person in there is between $30,000 and $45,000. So that's a huge expense. And so when you know, when a company looks at a transactional approach, checking the box, getting things done, you know, very short-term mindset, that's very attractive. But if you step back and take a look at what's your long-term vision, you know, if I can bring in some transformational approach mindset to how I do things more than just check boxes, then there's opportunities to reduce those costs. I mean, there's opportunities to, you know, change behaviors. There's opportunities to, you know, not only increase your, we call it your online reputation or your promotions and all the opportunities that come with a long-term vision look at it.
Yeah, and I would think that, you know, the turnover, just speaking from the standpoint of where we are right now in the world with, you know, a global pandemic that we've been going through. I know for a time, industry leaders that I spoke with said that turnover had all but stopped for a period of time. But then as the, you know, working through the pandemics and the lockdowns, you know, and things opening up and so forth, now the turnover rate seems to have gotten back to where it was, according to people I spoke with. Have you seen that in your market?
We have, you know, certainly during the pandemic, you know, everyone's a little more, you know, conservative with their approach in respect to saying, you know, if I leave, then I may not have another job out there. And so I think there's a lot of attention brought in regards to, you know, the unemployment rates. And so I think a lot of people that were in jobs kind of stuck there, so to speak, and didn't want to leave or take a chance that if they did leave, they wouldn't have a job to go to. So we did see a slight downtick in the turnover. But as things start loosening back up again, and returning to, you know, whatever normal, the new normal is, I imagine we'll probably start seeing the uptick in turnover again.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break right here. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of transforming multifamily leaders in a transactional environment. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is best-selling author and longtime multifamily industry veteran, Gary Gregory, the Director of Operational Initiatives at Steadfast Living. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Gary, you know, during the break we were talking a little bit, and you had mentioned how managers, on-site managers, and I would imagine even regional managers and some folks in the corporate level are hardwired in a certain way. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, people in general are hardwired to look for negative scenarios. And I think that's just an instinct that's built in all of us as part of nature. But even more so managers, and I think, as you mentioned, regional managers, district managers, can be hardwired to just look for negative. And I think that stems, and from my experiences, that stems from a lot of pressure that the on-site managers, the regional managers, district managers, or whatever you want to label them as, there's such pressure to meet the numbers that, you know, if they don't meet the numbers, then the immediate thought is, what's wrong? And when we immediately look for, okay, what's wrong, then we're constantly looking at the negative. We're constantly searching for that negative piece. And I can tell you just some experience that I've had. I've worked with some incredible leaders, and I've been blessed to work with those leaders. And I've worked with some leaders that, you know, maybe not so much. And, you know, some experiences that I've had is, you know, as a community manager on site for a number of years, you know, I had a leader that was so focused on numbers. It was so focused on checking the box that, you know, I found myself, you know, every time this leader would call me, I was grabbing my checklist. I was grabbing, you know, all the reports that I had so that I could feed my leader all of the numbers, because I knew based on, you know, my experience with my supervisor that was the questions that were going to be asked. It was just simply numbers. And so I was constantly, you know, looking at those numbers. I was looking at what was going wrong, because that was always the question is, hey, what's going wrong? And so when it's that constant view of what's going wrong, as opposed to what opportunities do you have, you know, that creates a behavior that creates an expected behavior of, okay, as a leader, if you're talking to your team and you say, okay, what's going wrong, then you're creating that expectation or that behavior of, okay, all I want you to look at is for the negative. Whereas, you know, if you can start changing that mindset or adding in, you know, start developing a transformational approach of, okay, what opportunities do we have? I know it sounds kind of hokey, and it's a slight variation of how you talk or how you speak or how you present. You know, just think about it. If you walk up to your associate and say, hey, what went wrong? They're going to give you a different set of explanations. But if you change that just a little bit and you say, hey, what opportunity do we have? You could get a totally different answer. And that answer that you get creates a mindset of, okay, hey, even though things go wrong, and they will, you know, that's just part of life, you're encouraging your associates to start looking for the opportunities within the environment. And I think just all too often, because we're so checklist driven, we're so, you know, get to that number driven, our first instinct by nature is to look for the negative. But if we just simply move it, we just kind of move that needle over a little bit to say, hey, you know, what opportunities do you have? It really creates a different environment. You know, it sounds simple, but it doesn't always make it easy. You know, I understand. And I've had some leaders. In fact, I had another leader that when I was promoted, this leader changed my perspective. I mean, it was a challenge each and every day, because I was so used to different, you know, another leader that said, you know, hey, what's wrong? What went wrong? What went wrong? And this new leader walked in to my world and was like, okay, Gary, tell me what you're going to do. This is the scenario we've got, but what are you going to do about it? And it really made me change my mindset and thinking that, okay, you know, this leader's asking me what opportunities. She's asking me what possibilities can I do to make things better. And it really changed my perspective on how I led my team. And it was just incredible, just a shift, just a, you know, a change in the way things happen that really, you know, shifted my focus. And it helped me elevate my game substantially just by that one leader making that shift in the way they asked me how things were going.
Gary, can you give our listeners a hypothetical, real-world type of example of what might illustrate, first, the common way it's being done with a transactional-type approach versus the transformative approach, something that would be real-world in a multifamily environment?
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of times, let's say real world example, we, you know, there's different forms of bonuses. And, you know, and let's take the leasing commission. So a lot of the leasing consultants on site, they are paid a dollar amount for a commission. And they're also paid a dollar amount on a renewal. So that renewal is a great example. So let's talk about that one. So for renewals, the example is, okay, we need to get, let's say, 60% renewal this month. So your transactional approach is simply sending a letter to your resident and maybe calling them and saying, hey, do you want to renew? You know, so it becomes very transactional. It's just it's basically asking your resident to renew. That's it. And the transformational approach, what I've seen and what, you know, Steadfast Living works to instill is what all the things that we do before that renewal comes up. What is the relationship that we're building with the resident? Have we communicated with them beforehand? Have we, sent them something? Have we called them for, you know, a follow up on a work order? So it becomes, you know, it's long term goal thinking. It's long term vision looking. Where in the transformational environment you are saying, hey, what are the steps, what are the things that I can do to build the relationship, to build the trust, to build the confidence of that resident, that customer with me? And transformational is constantly looking at, you know, creating opportunities to connect, to build that relationship. And so as a renewal, we want to create that transformational environment and make those connections. And so, you know, whether it's a move-in gift, whether it's making sure that make-ready is done at move-in, because renewals considerations start at the day of move-in. And so all of those things that you do across those months add up. So when you get to that renewal point, that relationship has been built, that trust has been instilled, and there's confidence of that resident in, you know, in that community that, you know, you don't even have to ask me to renew because I'm so confident in what you guys do because you've built this relationship along the way. Yeah, I certainly do want to renew. And so I think it really does make a difference. And I've seen this time and time again where, you know, just an example, I was an on-site manager. I had a resident that absolutely hated me. And I was determined to, even though this resident hated me, and it was a long backstory with it, but I was determined to do all I could do to win this resident over and get them to renew. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about my emotions that I felt with that resident. What it was is building that relationship and saying, hey, I know we've got off on the wrong start. I know you don't particularly like me, and you know that hurts personally, but professionally, let's move past this. So this resident that did not like me, I did everything I could. I did all the things, tried to build the relationship and communicate and did gifts and invited to resident functions, all the things. And a lot of people in the office were asking me, Gary, why are you being so nice to this resident that is mean to you? And I tried to explain to them that, you know, it's not about me. It's about the relationship. It's about the customer. And even though they may not like me, it's still my responsibility because I've got this transformational mindset that I want this resident to eventually like renew. I want them to become a fan. And I found in the past that a lot of residents that disagree with you or, you know, have an issue with you, if you can create that transformational approach with them, those residents usually end up being your biggest fan, and they will refer to you the most referrals. And so that was my approach with that resident. And so I recognized earlier that, you know, had I taken a transactional approach with this resident that didn't like me, man, it would have been done. It would have been a difficult term with this resident. But with that transformational approach of trying to build that relationship, even though that person didn't necessarily like me, it made all the difference as we went through. And I was blessed. She ended up renewing and became one of our biggest fans. So I think it really does, even, you know, just a simple renewal approach to it, the transformational approach, really can make a difference if you recognize how to implement it across the board.
All right. Well, great advice, by the way. We are going to be back after this break with three different types of transformational leadership Gary's going to talk about. But we're going to be back after these messages. You listen to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of transforming multifamily leaders in a transactional environment. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is a best-selling author and longtime multifamily industry veteran, Gary Gregory, who's the Director of Operational Initiatives at Steadfast Living. Before we get back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Gary, we kind of mentioned at the end of the last segment that we were going to be talking in this segment about the three different types of transformative leadership. Tell us a little bit about that and how you get there.
Absolutely. So transformational leadership is, and this is something that I have had an opportunity to actually, in a practical, real-world environment, have been able to apply. And for what I've seen and what I've done, transformational leadership is a development by identifying, investigating, and initiating three types of leadership. And so the first one I want to share with you is internal leadership. So a lot of times, you know, we promote, we hire these leaders that may not have a lot of experience, or we're giving them an opportunity to take a leadership role, and all of a sudden they're thrust in this position and they're busy checking boxes. And so to really create transformational leadership development, we want to start with internal leadership. And this is where we encourage and we help and we guide these leaders to develop themselves first. And so a couple of ways that you can do that to help develop yourself is, number one is you find alignment. And it sounds simple, and it really is you just find a couple of people that you can connect with, a couple of people that you know will support you and help you and challenge you and call you out when, you know, you're making some boneheaded mistakes, but they're always there to support you. And I know, depending on your friends, I can't remember how the saying goes, but you're always the average of your closest three or five friends. So pick those friends, pick those alignments that will elevate your average, and have those and keep those people close. And so I think we want to encourage our leaders, young and old leaders, to find those alignments. The next thing I think is extremely important is finding a mentor. You know, mentors are those people that are kind of outside of your world, but you can connect with to just help you, guide you, and support you as well. But they're kind of a little removed, so they've got more of an objective stance. And, you know, even if that mentor is a, you know, somebody in your company that, you know, maybe it's a vice president or somebody of that nature, or maybe you find a coach or maybe you find a mentor outside of that world. And, you know, sometimes it costs money, but you know what, that's a huge investment in yourself to grow yourself, to potentially grow your future. And then, you know, internal leadership, you always want to make sure you're filling yourself with the right stuff. And so I always encourage, and part of this internal leadership path is, you know, encourage reading, encourage watching things that will support your thought process or your career opportunities, and then continue to learn, continue to take, you know, those education classes, and, you know, listen to Multifamily Matters Radio, because there's so much valuable information that's shared that as a part of the internal leadership, you always want to have your alignments because they're going to support you and call you out. You have mentors because they can give you an objective view of how to improve yourself. And then constantly read, watch, and learn things that are going to support you in your growth. And then the second one is as that leader begins to develop themselves, they can start applying some of this stuff to external leadership. And this is where that leader, whether it's community manager, regional manager, they begin to apply some of these things. And I've always shared that, you know, and I firmly believe that we have to be honorable. And so even if there's a person that's not happy with you or a person that doesn't do what you hope they do, as a leader, you always want to set the example. You always want to be honorable, even if that other person is not honorable. So some of the things that a transformation or leader will develop in and create external leadership is with their team members, we want to make sure they're correcting and redirecting timely. So if you've got an associate, one of your team members that is not doing something correctly, you want to catch it quickly and then get them on the right path quick. Because if you let it fester, you know, it's going to create issues and it's harder to bring them back to where they want to be. And the other people are saying, hey, this associate's not doing what they're supposed to be doing and my leader's not addressing it. So I guess it's okay. So correcting and redirecting timely is extremely important. And also the next one is you want to support, not punish. A lot of times, you know, if somebody does something wrong, they get punished or they get yelled at or whatever. And so they start hiding their mistakes. And so we never want our associates to hide their mistakes. We want them to feel comfortable and okay to fail because they're going to get support from their leader. Another thing that we'll bring up is being grateful. So that associate that you have, they could have worked anywhere. Yeah, you hired them. You picked them to work at your community, but they chose to apply for your company. So you want to be grateful that they're with you. And when they're there, show appreciation. Hey, a simple thank you, a simple pat on the back, a handshake or something saying, hey, thank you for the things you're doing. It really does go a long way. And then also part of external leadership is totally understand associates may not work out, and that's okay. You know, maybe you aren't the right place for them, but when it gets to that point and you've done all the things you can to support them and help them, you know, if it doesn't work out, you got to wish them well and move on without them. And that's okay, and even though it's hard. And then finally, the third step to transformational leadership is overall leadership. So when a leader creates and leads themselves, when a leader creates that external leadership, then you have an opportunity in which the leadership, the overall leadership, begins to duplicate. And so you're looking for, and this is fertile ground to grow leadership. And with that, you start looking for opportunities to grow your leaders, whether it's a promotion, whether it's giving them additional opportunities to do things, trusting them with new responsibilities. And once that begins, you start duplicating. It's not just the leader leading, but it's your team is leading each other. And I think that is like the ultimate goal for a transformational leader, is to see your leadership duplicated within your team.
Well, we've got about a minute left in this segment before we break. Give me an example of, in your career, somebody that practiced that last leadership, the overall leadership. What type
Absolutely.
Of
things? One of the my favorite examples of overall leadership is seeing a new leader go through all that process and get their own team. And the proudest moment is seeing your team member get promoted, and then they end up training another team and seeing their team get promoted. And I've seen it a number of times where, you know, one of my assistant managers gets promoted to community manager, and they've got a fresh green team, and they end up promoting one of those new team members to somebody else. So you see that, don't want to call it legacy, but you see that overall leadership start duplicating down the line, where the people that you help get promote, that they help other people get promoted. And I think that's one of my favorite examples of overall leadership.
We are going to take a quick break right here. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistent. Excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of transforming multifamily leaders in a transactional environment. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is best-selling author and longtime multifamily industry veteran, Gary Gregory, the Director of Operational Initiatives at Steadfast Living. And I do want to let our listeners know that on our website at multifamilyradio.com, if you go to this episode page, on the episode page will be a link to Gary's website, which also will have a way for you to look at and purchase his books that he's written. So we're going to talk about those in just a minute. But Gary, just to get back on the topic, you had mentioned that leaders kind of use a traditional banking system. I'm using air quotes when I say that. Tell us a little bit about what that means.
This is actually one of my favorite topics. A transformational leader will use that traditional banking system with their associates. And I love to call this the positive leadership bank account. And this is the currency that you have with your associates, your team, to build them up. And so, you know, just like a traditional banking system, you've got deposits. You got to make deposits in with your team. That's a part of giving your time, supporting, helping, talking to your team and showing appreciation and having gratitude. Those are the deposits that you make. That's your positive capital that you're building with your team. Now, the same line with that is just like any banking system, sometimes there's withdrawals. And understandably, we're all human. We make mistakes. We miss opportunities. But if you create withdrawals in that positive leadership bank account, if you make too many withdrawals, you're going to start gathering fees. And those fees are basically, you know, disgruntled associates. So you've got to watch those withdrawals. And then another thing I love is the interest. So when you're making deposits with your team and building them up and supporting them and helping them in their career path, you have a positive balance. And when you've got a positive balance of positivity with your team and helping them grow, then you're going to see some interest. And that interest can come in the form of your associates doing more than you ask, or helping out another associate, or building relationships. So those deposits have interest, and those things can do some incredible stuff with your company. Now, loans. Here's a fun one that I like to be very, very mindful of. And in my current role, I host a lot of meetings, and you know, we schedule those out. So I want to be mindful of their time. So if any of my meetings go over, then I've taken a loan out of that associate's time bank. And so the next meeting, I want to make sure that I am giving back their time. And that's just one example. But if you ever take from an associate, you know, take their time or a little extra from them, you want to make sure you honor them and give back that time or give back to them where you can. And then, of course, there's the return on investment. I mean, who doesn't like to have or know what their return on investment is? Because if you're building that positive leadership bank account with each of your associates, you want to see a return on that investment. And so the biggest that I've seen and I love to watch and be a part of is trusting your team. You know, you've given them a lot. You've made some deposits. You're seeing the interest grow from all of that, those deposits that you're giving them. And so you want to trust them to do things you've asked them to do. You want to allow them to add value to that company. So your return on investment is in the form of trusting your team to do the things that you've asked them to do and let them do it. Give them space. Give them the opportunity to make mistakes. Give them the opportunity to succeed and not stand over their shoulders. And that's where you really will see the return on investment using this positive leadership bank account system. You know, that's your currency. That's your money to succeed. That's definitely one of my favorite things. And I've used this over the years with my teams and been very mindful of my deposits, supporting and giving of my time to help them. So that is definitely a great system to use.
All right, we've got about a minute left before I want to transition into something else I want to discuss with you. But in this last minute, give our listeners an idea of what to expect if they can adopt this type of transforming these multifamily leaders, and also what type of resources can they, where can they get resources? About a minute left.
So, yeah. So you're what they can expect, if you start going through a transformational approach, you're going to see long-term goals. It's no longer just, you know, here and now, but it's long-term. You're going to reduce turnover. You're going to see increased promotions. You're going to see increased morale, increased your online reputation grow when you have a transformational approach. In fact, the Aura scores just recently came out. And I promise you, if you go and look at those top elite properties, you're going to find a transformational approach within those communities. It really does make a difference when you change from a short-term thinking to a long-term goal through transformational approaches. It makes a big difference.
All right, well, fantastic. I want to just kind of move into a little bit about you. You've talked a little bit about it, but tell us a little bit about you and also the books that you've published. How people can get those, and how someone can reach you if they wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So started my career in university housing at University of Houston, and through my alignment, I was able to transition into a privatized university housing. And then through another alignment, I was able to move into multifamily. And so I've been in, you know, university housing, multifamily housing for, goodness, over 20 years now. And so it's been a blessing to be a part of this this industry, just simply because, you know, we get to find people homes and we get to take care of their homes. So that's just one of the things that I love about being in this industry. Now, love to share with you my book. I've got a new book coming out on Sunday, January 31st. It is called The Super Fantastic Process, and it does cover a lot of this information that I shared with you guys today in the book and so much more. And I wrote this book from a lot of experiences that I've had in the multifamily industry, from, you know, being on site all the way up to corporate level. So this book really does have some practical examples and practical applications that you can apply to grow your leadership, not only yourself, but your team as well. So if you're interested in getting a copy, again, coming out on Sunday, January 31st, it's available on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon on that day, or of course you can go to my website, thegarygregory.com. And I'll have links there for you as well to access those books. I've got two other books available as well, and would love for you to check them out.
So, Gary, tell us a little bit about Steadfast.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's an honor to work for this company, Steadfast Living. Based out of California, we've got communities all over the country. It's an amazing company where I really enjoy it because it's focused on the experience. It's focused on the associates and the results of the things that we can do together. And it's just been it's been amazing to be a part of this company for the past 5 years with them. And I love to see where they're going, where they've been, where they are now, and where they're going. So it's been an incredible pleasure to work with Steadfast Living for these past 5 years.
Wonderful. Well, Gary, thank you so much for being on the show today. I definitely want to have you back again, and I do want to get my hands on your new book that's coming out. Again, our listeners can go to our website, and there'll be a link to Gary's website, and feel free to check it out and order his book. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.